comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I am here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. One of our listeners in St. Paul, by the name of Matt, has sent me an email about last night's show. Now, last night on the show, we had Jerry Wills. And we were talking about, in the first part of the show, we talked about the discovery of these giant skeletons in a marble crypt under the city of Athens. Ancient skeletons in an ancient marble crypt. Fascinating story. Fascinating report. And, by the way, Jerry is putting all that together so that you can see his interview with the witness that told him about all of this, and it will be available at Expeditions TV. But we talked about that, and then we moved into talking about the Vangelis concert in 2001 at the Temple of Zeus. And one of our listeners had a question about that. Matt in St. Paul, so I hope you're listening, Matt. And based on your email, I would assume that you are listening. He says, Mr. Smith, don't misunderstand what I am about to say. I love your show and listen to it every night. Well, that's a good thing. But I don't get the point you and Jerry were making last night about the Vangelis concert in 2001. That has never been a secret. I've had the DVD since it came out back then. So, since it was no secret, what's the point you and Jerry were trying to make? Thanks, Matt in St. Paul. Well, there were several points we were making, Matt. First of all, the concert, of course, is not a secret, and the DVD has been out for a long time. But let me ask you a question. Did you know that NASA paid for that? Secondly, did you know that it was being beamed live, transmitted live directly to Mars when it happened? And that's a question there is why? Who are you sending it to? And third, did you know that the vocals in that concert were in ancient Greek and were a plea for the gods to come back? Did you know that? So when you put this, first of all, nobody can go there and stand where Vangelis and the orchestra and the singers were. If you go there and you stand there, if you can even get in there, you'll go to jail. You can't do it. So that was pretty cool. But then on top of that, when you put all that together, that this magnificent production was entirely a praise of the ancient gods and a plea for them to come back, and you put that together with the fact that NASA paid for it and beamed it to Mars, that was the point. We got some more points to make about some other stuff right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And our topic tonight is the open science debate that's going on in the UK and in Europe, in the EU, and in the United States of America. This debate is raging. You may be scratching your head and saying, what's that got to do with a show about UFOs and the paranormal? You'll see. It reaches right into the heart of it. And we're going to talk about this open science debate. The UK, the United Kingdom, has put its support behind going with an open science protocol. And now it moves, the debate moves to the European Union. And if they go with this protocol, then it's pretty much over. And the United States can join in or not join in, but open science, open access science will be pretty much the thing around the world then. Right now, journals, scientific journals, do peer-reviewed papers and they publish them. But right now, what can be put up for peer review and publication is restricted by money. It's restricted by who put up the money. And so governments sometimes put up the money for doing the science. Sometimes it's private corporations or private investors. And then the scientists who have a breakthrough that would be a great benefit to humanity are not allowed to publish the paper by those who put up the money. And, you know, there's some good arguments on both sides of the issue. For one thing, what's going to happen to the investment side if open science protocol, open access, is, if that becomes the protocol? So you're a scientist and some investors put up a bunch of money for you to do your research, and you have a breakthrough and you come up with something that's just fantastic. And now, if you publish that before they have the opportunity to put it into an application, in other words, before they have an opportunity to manufacture and start selling this breakthrough, you put that into open literature, open access literature. Anybody in the world then that can understand scientifically what you're talking about would be able to take your paper, duplicate what you're doing, and build it, whatever it is. So how are the investors going to get their money back? That's one of the very real arguments against this open access science. But on the other side of the fence are all the scientists who say, well, you know, years ago this problem was solved, whatever it is, and, you know, people don't need to suffer with this anymore. We've solved that. But we can't get our paper published, and the company that owns the research won't do anything with it. And so, you know, this research needs to be out there so that others can read it and have open access to it and do something with it to solve this problem of humanity. So there are good, strong arguments on both sides of this debate. However, the UK has come down on the side of open access to science. Open access, so they can, you know, the scientists can then just publish the paper in what's called an open access journal. Now, the way that works is the scientists are the ones who pay to have the journal publish their paper instead of charging the subscribers, which is what traditional journals do. They charge the readers. And so that whole industry you know, if it goes open access, that whole industry of scientific journals that charge subscribers is probably going to go the way of buggy whips. Why would you pay to get information that you could get from an open access journal? It will probably take some years before the regular scientific journals go the way of buggy whips, but they will. And one of the reasons it will take some time is because the United States of America is not likely to step into the open access protocol. They may. The USA may surprise everybody and just jump right in, but I doubt that. Because whatever else you may think the USA is all about, you know, you may think, well, the USA is about freedom and the USA is about human rights and all of that, and we used to be. But if that's what you think, add this to your list and make it number one. The USA is about money and profit. It's a business. And I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's evil. I'm stating that as an observation. And you may think it's good. You may think it's evil. Everybody's got their own view of that. But it is an observation that the United States of America is about money. That's one of the top priorities in the country. So, I don't suspect, because of that, that the USA is going to jump into the open access to science protocol. However, if the European Union adopts it, the UK has already adopted it, if the European Union adopts it, then the open access to science protocol will be in play in a very large and very significant and wealthy part of the planet. And scientists who prefer that sort of openness with their information will gravitate to those countries. So there will be a brain drain from countries that don't adopt the open access to science protocol. That's what will happen. Eventually, the USA will probably come to its knees on this issue and adopt it. But while the United States resists, which they are resisting now, while they resist the open access to science protocol, then journals that are traditional scientific journals and charge their subscribers for the publication of articles will continue to exist, but in a scaled down version, I think. That's just the way I see this playing out. But it is playing out, and you may not have been aware of the fact that it's playing out. You might not have had any idea whatsoever that this debate is going on, but it is. And it's very, very, very important, even in our genre, as you will discover tonight. How far, if it's adopted, if the open access to science is adopted, how far will it go? How far will it reach? Will there be limits on the science that we get told about? Now, I want to do a little contest, and then we'll get into how this works. And this little contest actually has something to do with tonight's show. Those who are watching the show are seeing the picture that's on my website. If you're not able to watch the show because you have not yet joined, then go over to my website, scroll down, and you will see the picture about tonight's show. And what we see is, you have to look pretty close, but on the right side, there is, it looks like maybe an ocean, and or a big, big lake or something like that. And up in the sky, there's this little dark line, and there's a red circle around it. On the left side is that dark line enlarged, so we can see what it looks like. So here is, we're going to do a little contest here tonight. And the winner of this contest, if you win this, you can choose any show we've done in 2012. You tell me which show, and we'll burn a DVD of it for you and mail it to you, okay? Free of charge. You pick a show, and we'll put it on DVD for you and send it to you. So here's the question. What do you think this is? Is this like a new aircraft? Is this a new cruise missile? What is this? And if you wish to compete for that, give me a call, 623-444-5889. We'll take, if anybody calls, we'll take two or three calls here and see if anybody wins. And then we'll make the same prize available for a second question. Okay? So what is this? Is this a new missile? Is it some type of new commercial jet aircraft? Is this some type of new military aircraft? What do you think this is? 623-444-5889. Now again, even if you're not able to watch the show tonight, you can see this picture. It's the picture that's on my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com, kevinsmithshow.com. And so just go over there, take a look at it, and pick up your telephone and give me a call. We will give you whatever show it is you want from 2012 on DVD, and I'll even autograph the cover for you, okay? And free of charge. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. Tell us your first name and then your guess.
Hello?
Tell us your first name and your guess.
Hey, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, Leah.
Hey, I'd be guessing it's a hologram.
A hologram. Now, that's interesting. Why do you think it's a hologram?
Because it's the newest game in town.
Well, it's not a hologram, Leah. I'm sorry. You know, you have a penchant for winning when you call in, but not this time. Sorry.
Oh, well.
All right. Thanks for trying.
Uh-huh.
All right. 623-444-5889. Now, if you call in and make a guess, you can still call in later when we open up the phone lines for comments. That's okay. But just a guess. What do you think this is? Now, when I first saw this, I thought, you know, it kind of looks like the SR-71. Nah, it kind of looks like the space shuttle. Nah, I'm not sure what it is. What do you think it is? Caller, your first name, and what do you think this thing is?
Well, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia. And before I guess, can I ask, are you going to tell us the date or how old this picture is?
This picture, I will tell you, is within the last 10 years.
Okay, well, to me, that picture, the silhouette matches the space shuttle, and that's going to be my guess.
That's what I thought, too, when I first looked at it. It does look like it, doesn't it? But that's not what it is, Steve. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
All right, thanks for the guess.
You bet.
Somebody else, 623-444-5889. We'll take one or two more. And then if nobody gets it, I'll tell you. But first I'll ask you where you think it is that it's flying. But the question right now is, what is this thing? Caller, your first name, and what do you think this is?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony.
How are you?
I'm doing good. What do you think it is?
Good. I'm just judging by the back end of it. It looks like it might be a helicopter.
A helicopter. You know, sort of looks like one of those Chinook helicopters, doesn't it?
Well, by the back end, it looks like EC 120 or 130.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good guess. But no cigar. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Good, good try. Somebody else, 623-444-5889. Yeah, it's a very, very strange aircraft. Caller, you're live, so tell us your first name and what you think this thing is.
Kevin, this is Brent.
Yeah, Brent.
And I'm going to send a wild guess and say it's the Air Force replacement for the shuttle.
The Air Force replacement for the shuttle. Now, that's an excellent guess.
But it's wrong.
Yeah, no cigar. Sorry. Excellent guess, though. It does kind of look like that new thing they've got. And thanks for the guess. All right, we'll take one more. And if you call right now, we'll take that one more. And then I've got another question for you. All right, caller, your first name, and what do you think this thing is?
Hi, this is Jerry from Las Vegas, and I believe it's an unmanned aerial drone.
An unmanned aerial drone. Eh, good guess. Man, and we're going, I'll tell you something. You said your name's Gary, right?
No, Jerry.
Jerry. Oh, okay, now I know who you are, Jerry. Jerry. The we're all going to know what these drones look like real soon. They got about 50,000 of them ready to spy on all the Americans. They're going to be flying over our skies real soon, but that's not what this is. Good guess, though.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Now let's move to question number two. Now, this photograph shows us some of the surroundings, some of the setting in which this thing is flying. So give me a guess where you think this is. I mean, is this like over the Persian Gulf? Is this over the Gulf of Mexico? Is this over the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Mediterranean? Where do you think this thing is flying? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And caller, your first name and where do you think this is?
This is Tony again from Norman.
Tony? Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Mars?
Is it Mars? You win. Tony, hang on just for a moment. I'll get the mailing information from you during this break. Hey folks, we'll be back right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back. I guess that was a big, big surprise for a lot of folks in the audience to hear that that photograph that you see on my website, we call that a faceplate for the show. And so a lot of you were really surprised to discover that faceplate is a picture from Mars. And we're going to come back to that. But I want to show you how open science could impact our genre. NASA has a mission on right now, and in a little bit less than 2 weeks now, it's going to be landing on Mars. They're going to be trying to land the Curiosity rover. Now, a conversation with Mars is a 28-minute deal. You transmit. It takes 14 minutes for it to get there. If there was somebody there to receive an answer, and certainly there are spacecraft around Mars, and so they receive a message and they respond, it takes 14 minutes for that to get back to Earth. if, and spacecraft are constantly sending telemetry back to Earth from Mars. So when a spacecraft that's around Mars sends out a burst of telemetry, it's 14 minutes before it reaches Earth. Now, here's why that's important. From the time this spacecraft that carries the Curiosity rover, from the time that spacecraft enters the atmosphere of Mars and begins to descend, it takes 7 minutes for it to descend. So it will send telemetry telling them that it has entered the atmosphere. And once the Curiosity rover is on the ground, that takes 7 minutes. Once it's on the ground, it will send telemetry stating mission accomplished. That takes 14 minutes. So, if Curiosity crashes, it would be 14 minutes before they know it. If it lands successfully, it will be on the ground for 14 minutes before NASA knows that it was a success. With that 14-minute time delay, it takes a long time for NASA to have the rover do things. Assuming that, and man, I hope it all goes well. I hope that this thing works. And I hope it lands successfully. But once it lands and they know it's on the ground, they issue a command for it to do something. It's 14 minutes before it gets that command. And then once it starts doing it, whatever it is, it's 14 minutes before they know that it's doing it. It takes a long time for them to do a mission with these rovers. And it wouldn't be any quicker with humans, except that if you had humans on the ground, they have eyes, ears, and hands on, and they can make decisions right on the spot, and you don't have all those 14-minute delays, and then they can just upload all of their data once they're back in their spacecraft. And then you have one 14-minute delay. So human exploration of Mars would be much, much better if we could do it. There are some technological reasons why that's a tough thing, but the big obstacle to doing a manned mission to Mars is in Washington, D.C. The biggest obstacle to doing manned science on Mars is the group of people you elect and send to Washington, D.C. That is the hugest obstacle there is. But now, if open science becomes the protocol, some nation is going to be the first to get to Mars, not likely us. We've pretty much gone out of the manned space exploration business. So it's not likely to be us. Somebody's going to be the first ones to get to Mars. Does the open access protocol cover that? And will all of their science be open to the scientists of the whole world? One would hope so. One would hope so. Now, the Curiosity mission is going over to Mars for a very specific reason. Now, I've read several different articles that talk about this mission. And in some of the articles, they say it's going to look for life. And in other articles, they say, no, it's not going to look for life. It's going to look for the building blocks of life. Do they exist? And I have said, that's just ridiculous. Go look for life. If you find it, the building blocks are there. If you don't find life, then you don't need to know if the building blocks are there. There's no life there. If there's life there and you find that, then you know the building blocks are there. Now, I wonder, you see, this Curiosity spacecraft, when it enters the atmosphere of Mars, which they tell us is not even 1% the density of the atmosphere of Earth. Nevertheless, there's a heat shield, and the heat shield, is the spacecraft will heat up to about 1,600 degrees Fahrenheit with only 0.7% atmosphere. At least that's the official story. When others go to Mars and they discover that it isn't 0.7%, and I would bet the bank it's not. And, you know, I've said it before. I've shown on the show before. NASA planned to fly an airplane on Mars, and they built it. They had it built, and it was scheduled to go. They're going to fly this on Mars. How do you do that if you don't have air? It's not a rocket. It's an airplane. How do you do that if you don't have air? You can't. So when the others get there, I don't know, India, China, Russia, the European Space Agency, when they get there and they land, and it's a manned mission, and they find out that Dr. Harold Klein was absolutely right when he said, and I quote, "What we found there was something like 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources." They find that out. Does open access mean that they're going to publish that to all the scientists around the world? If so, NASA, that's going to jerk your drawers to the ground. When they get there, I've got something to show you from NASA. When they get there, these other nations that have, we'll say at that point, they have joined this open science protocol. When they get there, and they find out that there is life there, whether we're talking about lichen, or if we're talking about little critters running around, or if we're talking about intelligent beings, doesn't matter. When they find out there's life, are they going to publish that? Under the open science protocol, will they publish that? If so, NASA, that's going to jerk your drawers to the ground. And we're all going to see what you're made of. The whole world is going to see what you're made of. Even now, NASA, you know, they make these statements. They make statements about how the atmosphere is only 0.7% and there's almost no oxygen. It's just a trace amount. And because of the lack of atmospheric pressure, because of the fact that there's almost no oxygen at all in that atmosphere, and because of the temperatures, they say liquid water can't happen. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because water is what? H2O. You have two hydrogen atoms bonded with one oxygen atom, and that gives you water. And if there's almost no oxygen there, how could you have water? And then they say it couldn't be liquid water because of the process known as sublimation. So you do have some ice, but that's from billions of years ago that, you know, when there was water on Mars and when there was an atmosphere and it froze. But if it melts, it doesn't go to liquid state, they say. They say it goes right straight to vapor. And then we have the Phoenix lander. Remember that? Now, I don't want to dwell on this. I want to get on to this picture that we started with. The Phoenix lander, I believe that was 2009. And it was landed, it was parked right up near the North Pole of Mars, where it's supposed to be extremely cold. And also, they say that the atmosphere is so incredibly thin, not even 1% of what we have here on Earth. And there's almost no oxygen, so you're just not going to get liquid water. And then the Phoenix lander pointed its camera toward the ground, and it caught, coming across the picture, one of the legs of the Phoenix lander. And it has the foot pad in the picture, so we're seeing it sitting right there on the surface of Mars. And in a series of pictures taken by that camera, we can see water droplets condense and form on the leg of that lander, and then move, trickle. What does that tell you? Well, there's liquid water, so that tells you that what they're telling you about the atmosphere and the temperature and the oxygen content, none of that is true. None of it's accurate. So when the other nations get there and they discover these to be facts, when they discover it, is that covered by the Open Science Protocol? And will they publish that? And if they do, NASA, it's going to jerk your drawers to the ground. And what will you do then? Now, I want to get to this picture. This is a NASA picture. Now, I'm dealing with the picture that's on my website, but those who are watching are now going to see the picture without all the stuff about the show, just the picture. And for those who are interested and you're watching, there's the link at the bottom. This is right from JPL. And this was taken by the Spirit rover. You can barely see the thing in the sky. It's just a dot. We'll take a break and come back to that dot in just a moment. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about Mars as an example. Now, the reason, why Mars? I mean, you know, why not Mercury? Why not Venus? Why not Saturn? Why not Titan? Because we have more data available to us about Mars than we have any of these other places. There have been more missions to Mars than to anywhere else now. It used to be Venus. At the time I wrote that book, Venus, Watch the Other Hand, there had been more missions to Venus. But now, by one or two missions, Mars is in the lead. So we have much, much more data from Mars than we have for any of the other planets or moons of planets. Now, perhaps NASA has more data on some other place, but we're talking about what's been released to you and me, to the public. And there's much, much more about Mars. So I selected a picture and put it on the website and you can go take a look at it. Those who are watching see the link there. I will put that up again, but you can go there and see it. It's the raw data picture, and you can just see this little dot up in the sky, and you wonder, well, what's that? I want to tell you that the explanation, probably the official explanation, is, well, you know, that's just an anomaly in the camera. And I want to tell you that that picture has way more interesting stuff in it than just that dot in the sky. Now, that looks like an ocean out there or a big lake. I don't think it is, because when I zoomed in on this, and you'll see it in a minute, it looks like, you know, just hard-baked, flaky ground. I could be wrong. I don't know, because that's not in color. It's hard to tell. But I've marked four areas with circles on this picture where there are some anomalies that are well worth looking at, and we're going to look at those. But first, let's take a look at the thing in the sky. Let's zoom in on that. And when I look at this, until I really get zoomed in on it, it looks like maybe some kind of a cruise missile or something like that. Going through the sky right there in front of the Spirit rover's camera on Mars. But when you zoom in on this thing, and what I've done is a process called embossed it. All that does is it takes the flat picture and it takes all the various shades of black and white and gray and wraps them around the object so that you get kind of a almost 2D effect or 3D effect out of it, and you can see the shape of it. And that's what I've done here. That's an object. That's not a photographic artifact. Now, to be fair, I don't know that NASA has claimed that that is a photographic artifact. I don't know that. I'm just saying that's probably the explanation they would give you. NASA has told us that the atmosphere is only 0.7% as dense as the atmosphere on Earth. There's only a very small trace amount of oxygen. So with that atmosphere and that small trace amount of oxygen and with the temperatures, you can never have liquid water, and yet they took pictures of it on their own spacecraft. They're going with this new mission to look to see if there are the building blocks of life. And I would like to ask, does that make sense? I mean, to even ask the question, are there the building blocks of life? Well, let's answer this question. Who the hell's flying that? Don't you think that's a good question? Somebody's flying that. Even if it's remote controlled, they're sitting somewhere close enough to handle remote control. They're sitting somewhere on Mars. Can there be life on Mars? Well, who's flying this thing? Well, you might be saying, well, maybe it's NASA doing it remote control. They can't. There's a 14-minute delay from the time they send a command to the time it gets there, and there's a 14-minute delay from the time a craft responds until the time that response gets back to NASA. It's a 28-minute delay to carry on a conversation with anything or anybody on Mars if you're sitting on Earth. You can't fly an aircraft that way. Now, you can do a rover that way because you move it, you send it a command to move, 8 feet forward. It sends a command, it hears it 14 minutes after you send it, it does 8 feet, sends a telemetry back saying, I moved 8 feet. 14 minutes later, NASA hears that. Then they tell the cameras to look around. And the cameras look around. It takes 14 minutes for that to happen, and then 14 minutes for that photographic information to get back down to Earth. And then they send another message up, move 8 feet to the right. 14 minutes. You can't fly an aircraft that way. You can do a rover because it can just sit there and wait. That aircraft has got to have instantaneous, hands-on control by somebody flying it. So they're going up to look to see if there's life on Mars. I'm showing you from NASA's own pictures from the Spirit rover. I'm showing you photographic evidence that says NASA knows right now that there's life on Mars. They're going up to look for the building blocks. You don't need to look for building blocks. I'm showing you from NASA's own photograph, folks. You can go to that website and you can see for yourself this photograph. It is the raw data photograph. Put it in your photo program, enlarge it, and see. NASA knows right now that somebody is alive up there. Someone, I don't know who, someone is there. Now, could it be people that NASA sent up there? Yeah, it could be. Could it be people that the U.S. military sent up there? Yeah, it could be. Could it be some kind of Mars society, civilization that owns this and is flying it? Well, it could be. Could it be some kind of aliens from outside our solar system? Yeah, it could be. It could be any of that. But what it can't be is remote controlled from Earth. It can't be that because there's a 14-minute delay and you can't fly an aircraft with a 14-minute delay. I mean, you have to realize it's moving. It's not sitting still. It's moving. And by the time you tell it to turn right, it's 14 minutes across the sky before it hears that. So they're going to look for the building blocks of life, and I'm telling you that NASA has, this is not the only place, this is not the only picture, this is just one, it's an example. NASA has proof right now that, yes, there's life up there. Now, what about that open access to science debate? Well, NASA did release the picture. It's not one they put out to the press, but it is there on their website. It's actually the jpl.nasa.gov website. And I mean, they put a bunch of them out that show evidence like this, similar evidence. The problem is when the experts, the scientists, sit down with this picture, they try to tell you that your eyes are not seeing what your eyes are seeing. They try to tell you things like that's a glitch in the camera. A glitch in the camera. I mean, come on. NASA, why don't you just try and tell us cows are Cadillacs? I mean, it makes as much sense. The fact is, they have the proof. So this open access to science, does that mean they're going to start telling the truth? We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and we're talking about the open science debate that is raging across the Atlantic. If you're a scientist, you know it's raging. If you're not a scientist, you may have never even heard of it, but it is a raging debate across the Atlantic. The UK has decided to throw its support behind an open access to science protocol. The EU is debating it. In the United States, it's being debated, but the position pretty much is right now, no, we're not going to do that. And I'm using an example here of how this affects our genre, how it affects everything we know, really, about the world. You know, now that other nations have the ability to send people to the moon, they're certainly approaching that ability, and private industry in the United States is getting ready to start sending people to the moon, private space corporations. NASA has declared a no-fly zone over their Apollo landing sites. And they don't, you know, it's kind of a no-fly zone, and not kind of, it is a no-fly zone that they've declared. And if you're on the ground, you can't get within so many yards, hundreds of yards, of the landing sites. Because they want to preserve this as, you know, historic heritage sites. Well, it may be because when other nations get there and they see these sites, they're going to see things that we were never told. They're going to see things that would be embarrassing, perhaps, for NASA. I think that's the reason. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the reason. And as other nations develop the ability to get from Earth to Mars and develop the ability to send manned missions to Mars, you know what's going to happen, don't you? The truth is going to begin to come out. And NASA has fought and fought and fought to keep from telling you the truth about Mars. I understand that there are people in NASA who have a different opinion of that, and people who are supporters of NASA who have a different opinion of that. I am a supporter of NASA, but I'm a supporter of a NASA that's doing real space exploration, not this. Never mind. I've already said one bad word tonight. I'm not going to say another one. Maybe. I'm in support of a NASA that does real space exploration and tells the truth about what they're finding. They're not doing that, and we can pretty well see that they're not doing that. I mean, come on, the deal with the airplane. You're telling us that there's 0.7% atmospheric density compared to Earth. Well, this airplane, whatever the gravity is on Mars, I think it's anywhere from 38 to 50%. I've read different figures. I'm not sure which one is right. Let's say it's 50%. If this airplane, whatever it weighs on Earth, if you send it to Mars, it weighs half of that. So whatever the aerodynamics were that were required for it to fly on Earth will now be half on Mars. However much air must flow over those wings in order for that to have lift here on Earth, however much that is, it's half of that on Mars if the gravity is half. Well, that means that the atmospheric density needs to be somewhere very near 50% of what it is on Earth, and they're saying it's not even 1%. Their own actions, their own data scream they're not telling you the truth about Mars. And now we've got this picture. Now this picture's not new, it's been around for a long time, but we have this picture from JPL.NASA website, and I found that just about everybody who has talked about this picture on the internet focuses on that dot in the sky, and well, they should, perhaps, because that dot in the sky is not a dot in the sky, it's some kind of craft, and it's flying above the surface of Mars. The impact that has on this mission that's on right now, the Curiosity mission, looking for the building blocks of life, the impact it has on that is this. Why are you looking for the building blocks of life when you've got the evidence that someone is alive up there? Something is alive up there. Something's flying this craft, either as a pilot or remotely controlled. And they're not doing it from Earth. But that's not all that's in this picture. I put some other circles up there on the picture for those who are watching. And these circles are on the ground. So let's take a look at what is on the ground. Let's zoom in on that. Looks like some debris of some kind. Now, the elongated circle over on the right, on the right side of the picture, you know, that looks like a roadway or a skid mark. And when we zoom in on it, it looks even more like that. It's a roadway or a skid mark. That's what it looks like. I'm not saying for sure that's what it is. I'm saying that's what it, that's the appearance it has. But we've got, I've got some things marked here. And some of them your eye may immediately see, and some they may your eye may not see. But to me, this looks like the debris from a crash. Now, let me outline some of that. And you can see that there is, I've got two things outlined. There are more things in the picture. But one thing looks like a box of some kind, and it's got a little knob right in the middle of its top. Looks like a box. The other thing over there looks like a dome, or I'll tell you, for those, how many of you know anything about an automobile? I'm talking about working on automobiles. Some of you do. You know what a bell housing is? This looks like a bell housing, or a piece of one, laying on the surface of Mars. That's what it looks like. And it's setting right up on top of that hill. And then there's that box. And then in the lower right-hand corner of this picture you're looking at right now, looks like the casing around something that's round. But this casing has been blown apart and sheared, so we're only seeing perhaps the bottom half of the casing. The inside of it is rounded like the inside of a pipe. Do you see that? Furthermore, on that road over there, look at all of those evenly spaced marks. Are they stones? Perhaps. But they are fairly regularly spaced out. In other words, they're about the same, each one about the same distance from the other. So, what is that? An accident of nature? Well, it might be, but it sure looks suspicious. However, what's really suspicious, in my estimation, is that this looks like a debris field, as if something has crashed here. You can see I've outlined the box. You can see I've outlined the, I'll call it, broken bell housing. But look straight to the left of the bell housing, up on the top of the hill there, and you see other shapes of what looks like other debris. Is this a crash site? I don't know. I don't know. What I do know, though, is that this doesn't look like natural stuff. Now, let me take the outlining away where you can just see it with the naked eye. I don't know, that this is a debris field, but it looks like it to me. It does not look to me as if this is all natural stuff. This doesn't look like what geology produces. And it looks manufactured to me. All right? But I do know that there is something up in the sky. It's flying past as the picture is snapped. And whatever that is not being remotely controlled from Earth. You can't do it. There's a 14-minute delay from Earth to Mars in communications, a 14-minute delay. 14 minutes. You can't fly an aircraft remotely if you have a 14-minute delay. You don't even know what that aircraft is facing until 14 minutes later, and it's no longer facing that. So, back to the open science debate. Is the open science debate going to affect science, all of science? And if it is NASA going to keep putting out nonsense statements about what's happening on Mars while the rest of the world participates in open science, and as they go to Mars, they start telling the truth? Is that what's up here? Is that what's coming? I think NASA had better pay attention to this, because if that open science protocol is adopted by the EU, the UK already has, if the EU does, and the open science protocol is on, remember, the Russians and the EU have a manned mission to Mars planned. And if that open science protocol is what they're operating under, while NASA is still going to operate under the fog that they've been putting out for all these years, NASA, you're in trouble. Worldwide. Worldwide. Because that's going to jerk your drawers down, and we'll all see what you're made of. All right, I want to allow you to participate in tonight's show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you have a question or if you have a comment, maybe you've got an observation about something you see in the photograph that I didn't see, well, give us a call and let's talk about that. This is on Mars, and these photographs, this photograph that I've been talking about, it is on Mars. The existence of this photograph calls into question, why are you doing the Curiosity mission? What is the real mission of Curiosity? When you know you have evidence that there is life on Mars of some kind, you know you have that evidence. So what's the real mission of Curiosity? And what's going to happen when the rest of the world starts telling the truth? What's going to happen to NASA? They're already almost completely submerged in obscurity. So what's going to happen? The once great, the once powerful, the once glorious NASA, are you just going to disappear, NASA? You know, this is in your hands. This is in your hands. But the world population is no longer asleep, no longer anesthetized in the numbers that it would be necessary for you to continue to be able to be successful with your fog. And now there's this debate going on worldwide about open access to science. And if the EU decides they're going to do that, with the UK already supporting it, it's over. Your fog machine is broken, and you will have become, NASA, a buggy whip. No longer needed, no longer necessary. Is that what you want? Well, this is in your hands, NASA. It's entirely in the hands of NASA. Now, NASA administrators and directors and supervisors. These are the people who have to make the decision. Now, they may be saying, well, we can't do that because there's both military and political people above us. Okay, military and political people, this is in your hands. Do you want to be the laughingstock of the world? You almost are now. This is in your hands. Now, you could take the lead here and say, all right, here's the deal. We're going to come clean and tell what we know about life in the universe. We're going to tell what we know about life on Mars, life on the moon, life anywhere else in the solar system. And you could take the lead on this and go open science on this. Or you can continue to say, no, that's my secret. I'm going to keep it. As long as I have that secret, I got power. You're not going to have jack once this thing is open science. And it's in your hands. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Yes, Steve.
And just to redeem myself a little bit, my guess was going to be Mars as to where that is, only because I've been watching your show so much and have seen so many pictures. But I'll tell you something. The last time I heard somebody promising openness and transparency, those people gave us anything but that. They gave us more lies and obfuscation than I've heard out of any administration. Now, granted, this is coming from the UK and the EU, so if indeed there is going to be open science debate on this, then I would look forward to some amazing breakthroughs. However, I'm skeptical enough of our media, our information machine, or rather propaganda machine that's out there feeding us our daily dose of nonsense, that I think if something big happens, that may be about the time that the White House hits the internet kill switch. And, they only let leak through whatever they want us to know. I mean, I never thought I would live to see the United States become the new Soviet Union in its closed borders and closed information and closed minds. But it looks like we're so far down the road on that if anything significant happens on Mars, I see us being left completely out of the loop. You know, and I just hate to say that, hate to be so skeptical sounding, but I just can't help it.
I don't disagree with you. I never thought I would live to see the day when our media in this country would be more of a propaganda machine than the Soviet media ever was. But we're there. And then we're only, a hair away from being more totalitarian in the way we're governed than the Soviet Union ever was. We're only a hair away from that right now. But the media, right now, the media is in the United States of America sucks. And it is so bad that if you want to know what's going on here, you better get your media, your news from outside the United States, if you want to know what's happening to you right here.
You know, on the other hand, Kevin, you know, if these people are open and so on, God bless them, and more power to them. I'm just thrilled for the vistas and the wonder that's out there waiting for them that they're going to discover. And, I'm just tickled for them, but I see us left out of the loop. And before I bring any more negativity on your show, I guess I better get off the air.
Well, no. I mean, it's not negative to tell the truth. And, we have to tell the truth for as long as we can. That won't be much longer.
Yes, sir.
But we have to tell the truth for as long as we can. And the truth is that we already have a totalitarian propaganda machine called the media in the United States of America. It absolutely is the pit. And, That we can say. And we're a hair away from complete totalitarian rule here. But while we can tell the truth, we have to. But here's the thing, Steve. If these other nations go for the open science, open access to science protocol, then all of these so-called secrets that our military and NASA and all these people have just been hanging on to these secrets, it gives them power. It's no longer going to be a secret, and they no longer are going to have any power over anybody except right here in the United States. They're making decisions right now to back away from world leadership. That's what they're doing.
Well, whoever gets onto all this stuff first, I hope they develop a wonderful technology, some kind of a technology that they can help us throw off our totalitarian government. I hope somebody out there can rescue us the way we used to be the world's rescuer. I hope somebody can come rescue us. But gosh, Kevin, if it wasn't for parallel worlds, I'd be pretty depressed.
Well, no reason to be depressed. There are people who have even, there are world leaders who have even said, isn't it ironic, who would have ever thought that our country may sometime be called upon to reclaim freedom and liberty for the Americans?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But this science debate is right at the core of it all. Open access to science. It's right at the core of it all. Steve, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. What do you think about this? I mean, I've shown you some pretty amazing stuff here. And for some of you, it's pretty shocking in that you've never heard this stuff about Mars before. You've always believed that it was just, you know, the red dead planet. And I've shown you from NASA's own raw data photograph that there is proof that that's not true. There's proof. It's not just the red dead planet. Something or someone is there. Alive. Flying craft on Mars. As I, you know, when I say that sort of thing, I always get email from someone who tells me that, you know, I'm not a scientist, and that's true, and I'm simplistic, and that's false, and if I had any sense of logic whatsoever, I would be able to understand that that's some kind of pixelation or that's some kind of flaw in the photograph. Well, look, the problem is that Spirit has taken photographs like that of things flying through the sky from various locations on Mars. That's not an isolated photograph. So, you know, it's hard to make a case that I don't know what I'm talking about. You might can. I'll give you a shot at it. We'll be back right after this.
Hot Arizona, but nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and we're talking about a huge, huge development that's brewing right now on both sides of the Atlantic in the scientific world. And it is this debate about open access to science. Not something the U.S. is, at the moment, supporting. The U.K. has thrown their support behind it. The EU now will debate and see if they're going to support it. If they do, then most of the secrets that give the PTBs power over us are going to start becoming public. And the scientific secrets will start becoming public. And that means those who insist that it's all got to still be a secret over here will find the effect of the power that secret gives them shrinking. It will give them no power outside the borders of the USA. It will, they'll still have the power of their secrets in the USA. And I think the result of that is they will become much more totalitarian to keep the secrets and to hang on to their power. I think they will. But I think, you know, the rest of the world will evolve and the rest of the world will grow. And there will be great advancements. And in just a few years, the United States will be considered the knuckle draggers. But this is in the hands of the secret keepers right now. Now, you can lead on this or be left behind on this. But you ought to lead. And if you don't, it's very simple. The whole world, when they start releasing all their scientific information through open access, it's going to jerk your drawers down, and the whole world is going to see what you really are made of. So, you know, if you like power, the gears have shifted. And the power, especially if the EU supports this, the power will come not from secrets, but from leading in scientific knowledge and development. And secrets are not going to have a play in this anymore. So, you know, I think it's very important for those who are the secret keepers to start telling the truth. I think it's very, very important. And it's almost too late. Now, you've got a small window of opportunity closing fast. But, you know, I mean, it's in your hands. I think the rest of the world wishes that you'd make the right decision. I know I hope you do. But, see, folks, knowledge is not power. Secrets are power right now. Knowledge takes away the power of the secret. If I know your secret, it's no longer a secret. It no longer has any power over me. And so leadership in the world, the gears are shifting. I hope this happens. And I hope we have this open access to science happening in the EU. The UK has already stepped forward and said they're for it. Hope the EU does. If that happens, there's a huge shift in power. There's a huge changing of the gears here. Because then it's not the guy who keeps the secret that has the power. It's the guy with the best invention who publishes that and leads the way. That is who has the power. Going to be a whole new way of doing things, and I think that the population of planet Earth will benefit tremendously from it. I would benefit tremendously from you calling with your thoughts about this. What do you think about it? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Now, you know, we've talked a lot about this picture from Mars, and I've zoomed in on several areas. I'm a little bit curious, too, as to what you think about this picture. Do you think that this is a debris field? Is that what we're looking at? It looks to me as if it is a crash site with debris scattered around. Now we have a flash message from, Darren in Ireland. Darren in Ireland. Darren wants to know, okay, let's get that picture back up here. All right, I said that this thing in the sky is, NASA's got proof that someone or something is alive up on Mars, because you can't fly a craft, you cannot remotely control a craft from Earth. You can't fly an airplane from Earth. You can't fly a craft from Earth if it's on Mars and you're on Earth, because of that 14-minute communications delay. So Darren says the photo does look like a flying craft. However, it doesn't imply there is life on Mars. It may be controlled from some other craft in the vicinity of Mars. Well, Darren, that's true. You make a good point. And if it's being controlled from some other craft in the vicinity on Mars, or the vicinity of Mars, then there is life other than us up there. Right? So yeah, that would, if there's, say you've got a, some people might call it a mothership, parked off out in space out there, away from Mars just a little bit, and maybe that's a drone. The picture that we're looking at may be some kind of unpiloted drone with no crew on board. True, what that does is then that takes away what I said about the Curiosity mission. What I said about that is, why are you going to look for building blocks of life when you have proof there is life? Well, that takes that away. It does. And that's a good point. But here's what it does. It tells us, if what you're saying, Darren, is correct, then it tells us we're not alone in this universe. There's someone parked up there remotely flying this. We can't do it from Earth. So it's still an amazing, amazing photograph. And it's still absolutely a mystery about who's flying it. You know, this is something in the air. This is something flying. It's not, in my estimation, that is not a photographic glitch. As I said, this is not an isolated photograph. The Spirit rover has taken several photographs that show something in the air like that. Now, you do need to know that I have had this conversation with a number of people. You do need to know that I've taken a lot of different things into account here. One of the people that I talked with about this, actually late last week, said, well, you know, it could still be a glitch in the camera, right? And, I mean, it looks like a craft, and even though, you know, you see this on other photographs from other places, it could be a glitch in the camera. It could be a scratch on the lens. It could be some glitch, some problem in the camera. No, because not all the other craft look the same as this one. And if that's a problem with the camera, it has to be in every photograph sent back. And it's not. That's a craft. It's in the sky on Mars. That's a craft. That's not a glitch in the camera. And, you know, if you buy that it is, then you would buy that a cow is a Cadillac. It makes no sense at all that the explanation that that's a glitch in the camera. Makes no sense. If it were a glitch, it would be in every photograph. And it isn't. Furthermore, in every photograph, we ought to see essentially the same shape. And we don't. That's not a glitch in the camera. That's a craft. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. You're leading a case for NASA to come clean, basically. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the top officials will do that. No. I think if anybody from NASA comes clean, it'll be a whistleblower.
Well, and there have been some across the years. There have been a number of them. But those who hang on to secrets, if this open science protocol goes into effect in the EU and in it's all, you know, the UK is already supporting it. If that happens, these secret keepers have just lost a huge, gigantic, massive chunk of their power.
I understand what you're saying about information and secrets being power, but it seems like those who are controlled are not worried about this. It really seems like, I understand the case you're pleading, but it seems like for whatever reason, they're not worried about this. They're not worried about the moon bases being photographed. They're not worried about the Russians getting to Mars. If I was a betting man, I'd bet against that.
Well, Napoleon was not worried on his way to Waterloo. But he was a defeated man forever after Waterloo. He wasn't worried on his way. And I agree with you. I don't think, you know, they don't have the good sense to be worried. But I can tell you that scientifically, this is a Waterloo for secret keepers.
Well, that, I like the way you phrased that. The open science debate, I was always open. I'm always open for openness. And it seems like we would have technology now available to us that we don't have, but whether it's open or not, we don't seem to get this technology.
Yeah, and I think we will. I think once they open this where it's open access to anybody, then I think a lot of the technologies that have been held back from us will begin. They will begin to happen for us. Hey, you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach with only a few minutes left in tonight's show. On the telephone with me is Jerome from Pennsylvania. Jerome, you still with me?
Yeah, yes, I am, Kevin.
Okay. I think if this EU thing happens, you know, if they go with the Open Science Protocol and the UK goes with the Open Science Protocol, which they already are supporting, if they do that, then the U.S. is going to still be sucking down oil while those people over there are going to be on clean, alternative, plentiful energy. We're just going to watch our country tank if we don't adopt this along with the EU and the U.K. And but if they do adopt it, and you know, there's always a possibility that some folks in Washington will go on vacation and get fresh air and discover what's really going on in the world and quit breathing the Washington pollution and go back to Washington with clear heads and sanity and go for the open science protocol. It could happen. I hope it happens, but I don't expect it to happen.
I don't think that will happen either. I think there's too much corruption in the government. One question. Do you think that when NASA broadcast that music from the temple in Greece, mm-hmm. that do you think this was a desperation, like a Hail Mary, you know, pass?
Well, it could be. We had one caller last night who suggested maybe this was an attempt to appease the so-called gods, the ETs, who were already on the way. It could be that, too. I don't know. It's just bizarre. I mean, you know, if, pardon me, if Mars is not inhabited, why did they beam, why did they pay all that money to put on that production? And you saw, I guess, the video. That was a massive, expensive production. Why did NASA fund that? And fund then the beaming of that concert live to Mars if there's nobody over there to hear it.
Yeah, and then even to get the ability to get access to it.
The whole thing was bizarre. Fantastic concert, though.
Bizarre, yeah.
Fantastic music. Fantastic performance. But the whole thing about beaming it to Mars and NASA paying for all of that stuff, I mean, that's just bizarre. I don't know why they did.
When Jerry was given the translation, it was bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. That's one of those unsolved mysteries at the moment.
But you know what? That seems that's the whole thing. NASA seems like they don't care. I mean, it seems like they know something that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right now, but if this open science protocol goes into effect, that will no longer be the case. In just a very short period of time, the rest of the world will know everything NASA's keeping hidden from us.
Well, I sure hope so. And, hey, Kevin, I'm also sorry that you had to carry on so much of the conversation tonight.
Yeah, I am too, because this is extremely important. And either it just scares the bejesus out of people to think about there aren't going to be any more secrets, or people are asleep, or they just don't care. I don't know.
I'm not sure either, Kevin. But I'll leave you go in case somebody else wants to sneak in real fast.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, we have a flash message, this one from Neville in Australia. And he says, I agree with your summation of this picture. It does look like some debris on the surface, and that Mars is busier than they let on. The object in the air looks to me like a NASA-style, possibly Delta-shaped drone with rotatable downward-pointing fans on each side of the body, not unlike what you can find on VTOL aircraft. That's vertical takeoff aircraft, vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. It would also fit with the requirements needed for thinner atmosphere on Mars. Great show, Kevin. Well, Neville, I agree with what you say, except I would add this. If you take fans of any kind, like on those vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, and you turn them on out in space, you can hold your hand right in front of them, and you won't feel any air coming out of there. There's not any air. So you can spin the fans, and they'll get no effect out in space. Now, if you go to Mars, and you have at the surface, I mean right at the surface, ground level, if your atmosphere is 0.7% density of what it is here on Earth, then up in the sky, it's way, way less than that. And you're approaching a vacuum very quickly. You're approaching no air at all for those fans to push against. So even if it is NASA, and I don't think it is because you got a 14-minute delay from here to there and from there to here, a 28-minute delay in any conversation. But if it is, if that's the kind of craft it is, then it absolutely proves I'm right about the atmosphere on Mars and that NASA's wrong or untruthful. One or the other. They're either wrong or they're untruthful. So if it is that kind of aircraft, as you've described, it proves I'm right. The atmosphere on Mars is not 0.7%. The atmosphere on Mars is probably close to 50% of what we have here on Earth. I don't know that. I can't prove that. I can pretty much prove it's not 0.7%. Because that 0.7% is right at the surface. You get 10 inches off the surface, and according to what they say, according to the official story, you get 10 inches off the surface, and it dissipates rapidly. The density of the atmosphere dissipates rapidly, and you get up to 2,000 feet, it's almost nothing. You get up to 10,000 feet, and there's nothing. So why are they using parachutes to fall in on Mars? And how are they using parachutes to do it? That's exactly how the Curiosity is going to get down. Parachute. How's that going to work with no atmosphere? But it does look like the craft does look like, as you described it, I thought about that too. That back end of the craft looks like maybe a downward rotated fan. But if it is, number one, that proves the atmosphere is thicker. And number two, it's not NASA unless that's manned. It's not NASA because you can't do remote controlled flying with a 14-minute delay one way and a 14-minute delay the other way. You can't do it. So if that is NASA, then it's manned. And again, the secret has got to come out. The truth has got to come out. The secret has got to die. Well, folks, this whole thing about the open access to science is huge. It's gigantic. It has absolutely galactic implications. And if you're asleep on it, I'm sorry. I truly am. If you're ho-hum about it, I'm sorry. I truly am. You need to get with the program. The phones are ringing. I'd love to answer. It's too late for that. Should have called earlier. But it is time for me to say that my friends call me Steel Eye. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.